Welcome to the Next Brave Thing podcast. My name is Ella Hooper, and I believe that breakthrough is on the other side of bravery. This podcast features brave stories, emotional health, and creativity to inspire you to take your next brave step. Today on the podcast, I am exploring guidepost number one of the Wholehearted Living series. And as I've mentioned in the previous episode, I'm embarking on a whole series of talking about these guideposts to what it means to live a wholehearted life. And it's from the book by Brené Brown called The Gifts of Imperfection. And every time I've taught these kind of guideposts in different kind of class settings, everyone just kind of goes, oh, what a relief. Like as we start to unpack and work through each of these guideposts. So hopefully that's the sense that you will feel as I kind of talk through it. But today's guidepost, which is guidepost number one, cultivating authenticity and letting go of what people think. If you have listened to my podcast for, you know, any amount of time, you will know that I'm deeply passionate about identity and authenticity. And I was thinking about a time where a group of us in California went and watched just a community theater show. And just so you know, like when I go and watch a show, because I've been in that world a long time, like I don't go in there, you know, to make fun of anyone or to criticize and pull down and pull apart things. But I do, of course, like have thoughts and feelings about things. But anyway, one of the girls, she sort of said, oh, that actor was so fake. And then one of my friends, he sweetly said, they're not fake, they're just disconnected. And I've also had like friends come up to me, or I've even had a feedback not so delivered in the kindest way, where someone's like, oh, that feels fake what you're saying. Like I've been given that feedback. And I'm like, I don't feel in myself I'm being fake. And I've had, you know, friends come to me and say, oh, this person said I was fake, or, you know, that kind of thing. But I love what my friend gently said. It was like a kind reframe of like, they're not fake, they're just disconnected. And I think that that is a good way of putting it, because I think of like times where I have been in a stress state, I've been in more of a fawn response, which is people pleasing. And so I'm actually really disconnected from myself. And so it can actually come across to some person who has a really strong sense of self, like that wasn't genuine. And it's so like deep in my subconscious, like you wouldn't even know that you're being fake in that moment. Anyway, so I love to unpack what cultivating authenticity can look like and the art of letting go of what people think. And so why do we care what people think? And I think it's because in childhood, our parents really give us a mirror back to who we are, whether it's said in verbal cues or in behavior. We're looking to the authority figure in our life, which is our parents when we're kids, to define who we are. And some of us had a mixed bag of like a lot of really good things, and then sometimes through our parents, because they're triggered and dysregulated and human, because we live in a fallen world, they project stuff onto us that all of a sudden we feel like we need to perform for love, or we need to not be ourselves. Or we've actually had maybe, you know, our parents never gave us healthy feedback or gave us healthy criticism to kind of look at areas in our life where we're affecting people. And so if we come from that place of like, well, we're kind of wired from childhood when we're kids to be defined by what our parents say about us. But then what happens is often we'll have, if we're growing up, we'll have media tell us who we are, social media tell us who we are, our friends start to tell us who we are, and we lose ourselves because, like, you know, it's helpful to get encouragement as well. Like, so it's mixed in with this tension of like, we need people to encourage and affirm who we are, but we also haven't always had the strong sense of self to assess and kind of eat the meat and throw out the bones of how people are defining us. And what I realized I had a lot of wounded people defining who I was. And I noticed, like, even going into adulthood, I would be so overthinking about what this wounded, more critical personality would be thinking about me. And I had to really reclaim my sense of self. And I know not everyone can identify with being a people pleaser. And bless your soul, I just didn't know. I thought everyone felt this way. But I know that there are people out there that actually do have a strong sense of self, but they maybe come across like in moments like they feel quite lonely because they don't know how to connect with people. So they have a strong sense of self and they don't really care what people think and they have their thoughts about the world, but they're finding themselves isolated and disconnected from people because they haven't learned the dance of maybe speaking truth in love or just even noticing like maybe like there's some pain there that is shaping this identity that you've created about yourself of like, oh, I just say it how it is. Like, you know, maybe that's some pain there that needs to be healed. And something that I noticed just from coaching so many people and working in the transformation business for a long time is that a lot of people think that healing is an event. But healing is an ongoing ebbing and flowing through all the seasons of life that we face. And it's not just an event. But you may find that there are particular seasons, let's say you're going through a divorce, and that's a really concentrated, focused healing season. And then you come out of that season and you're not carrying that heaviness. No one would even know that you went through a divorce because you're so free and you've become so empowered and healed that pain. But then you get into a relationship and you get married again. Like, it's actually denial to say like, oh, I'm not, you know, fully healed from what that how that affected me, but it's almost like we get thrown into a new situation where those old triggers can come up again. And so we need to address sometimes like the same wound over and over again. And that's kind of part of walking out of life. But I do think we can have significant catalytic healing moments where we're like, oh, I just don't even struggle with that thing anymore. And I do really believe in it. But a lot of the time, the renewing the mind process is an intentional one. And often there's a lot of revisiting the same thing over and over again around our identity. And so we can have these loss of identity moments. And a loss of identity moment could be just like a moment where you're in conflict and the other person's mad at you. And we can kind of lose our sense of self and almost go, because they're mad, I am bad. And that's a moment that we can lose our sense of self. And so I'm going to really talk through today on this podcast. I'm going to head into like talking about what self-abandonment is or losing ourselves, but then also what it means to be wholeheartedly authentic. And we're going to define a little bit about how self-awareness like plays into that role. And but I love Brené Brown's research on this, and I love how she says authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of what we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. And so that emphasizes intentionality and consistency and the ongoing nature of living authentically. And so authenticity isn't a fixed trait, just like healing isn't like a fixed thing. And I've said this on previous episodes, and I can sometimes meet with people who are like this, and I was like this. It was kind of like, oh, I've done counseling around my daddy issues, so like, I don't know why I'm still struggling in X, Y, and Z. And I remember a therapist who was very direct. She said, oh, okay, so you've like struggled, you've worked through your daddy issues. Are you healed in that area? And I was kind of like, oh no, because I have this thing of like, I need to prove and get a gold star with my therapist about how much work I've done. And often that comes from that place of being, you know, identity protection, that self-protective thing that we do. But yeah, I love that Brené Brown really talks about like, we have to be intentional. And in order to be authentic, I also need to embrace vulnerability. I actually need to embrace uncertainty. And I have noticed, like, especially from living in different cultures, like America is such a different culture to Australia. And then because it's not like I went on a holiday to America or lived there for a year, I lived there for 10 years. And so I am a very different person to what I was 10 years ago. And I think very differently. And I'm more outspoken in different areas. And coming back to Australia, I've just definitely noticed these kind of moments of like, ooh, cultural clash here. Like, not that I'm fully going to give language to all of that today, because I don't actually want to criticize any cultures. But there's been moments, like even coming back to Australia, where I'm like, oh, I don't want to compromise. I could compromise authenticity right now to fit into this circle of people. But I am not. Like, and not a lot of people have gone through what I've gone through in life and done what I've done in my life. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm actually not going to make myself smaller because I might not be relatable to these people that I have in front of me. But I'm going to learn how to do connection. And so I love Brené Brown highlights these three things and three components into what it means to be authentic. And so it's courage, compassion, and connection. So courage to be imperfect and still show up. And that's a huge thing in creativity. And that's a huge thing in engaging in new friendship groups, or even courage to show up authentically in your family. Like, those are really courageous things, because sometimes it will disrupt the peace. And I think in the realm of creativity, I've just done The Artist's Way, and Julia Cameron says, like, we want to have self-expression and we want to have like our unique, authentic, creative voice, but you can't have self-expression if you don't have a self to express. And so I love that. And then compassion towards ourselves first. And when we feel safe inside ourselves, we'll have compassion for other people. And so compassion is such a huge thing, because I don't want to sit on, sometimes we can have experiences in our life that make us like almost feel superior to other people and kind of like, well, this is the right way and I live life the right way and I'm being authentic. Like, I think what real authenticity is, like this kind of humility and a sense of compassion of everyone's on a journey. And I think for me, the more I know like how costly and how much of an intentional walk it is to live authentically, especially coming out of people pleasing, like the more I have compassion for people who maybe aren't that authentic or may feel, you know, a sense of like, I don't know, they feel like they can't be themselves. I have so much compassion for it because I've done it, you know? And then connection is as a result of being real and not performing. So, and it's also like on the other side, some of you may be more like you kind of think more black and white, but you're feeling more isolated. And some of you need to engage more in compassion towards yourself and others in order to have more connection with people. But also I know for me, like when I can be vulnerable and real with people, that deepens my connection with God and myself and others. So I'm going to go into talking a little bit about kind of different groups we can find ourselves in and where we lose our authenticity. And then I want to talk about like the role of self-awareness. And I'll just say this on self-awareness. I used to think I was so self-aware because I was actually really introspective and overthinking and constantly internally thinking about my motivations and why I do what I do. But that's actually unhealthy self-awareness and unhealthy introspection. Healthy self-awareness holds compassion in one hand and curiosity in the other. And so, and the other thing is, like, the more aware of other ways of life and other ways of thinking and bigger thinking, I can come into a greater awareness also of what's possible for me. So in my stuck places that I have a lot of introspection around, I can bring myself into greater awareness of goodness that is around me as well. And so anyway, to explain kind of different groups, and maybe you'll find yourself in these kind of groups of people, and I think I've been in all these types of groups. Now, like I mentioned, this guidepost is about letting go of what people think and cultivating into authenticity. And so the challenge is, if we completely cut ourselves off from what people think, we'll lose connection. But if we overthink, overemphasize what people think about us, we'll lose ourselves. And I think it's super important just to use that of, like, why we overthink what people think about us. It's from our childhood. Adults and authority figures or older siblings kind of gave us definition to who we are. But when we go into adulthood, we actually have a lot of autonomy. When we're kids, we don't have a lot of autonomy. But when we're adults, we have autonomy to think for ourselves. And so what I love, even from the way that Jesus discipled people, he taught people how to think. He didn't tell people what to think. And so I think there's this thing that I'm so passionate about, is like, really getting to be authentic, you have to be connected to what you think about the world and not fully follow the crowd and follow. Like, I used to have this as a people pleaser. I didn't realize this until a counselor kind of called it out. I would, like, exit my experience, climb into that other person's experience looking back at me, and go into a war in my head about all the things they're thinking about me. And I remember I'd be in a situation where there'd be conflict or disconnection with someone, and I would find myself floating out of my experience into someone else's looking back at me and thinking about, what do they think about me? And I had to literally go on a journey of, like, noticing, Ella, you're floating out of your experience. Let's get back into your experience. And what do you think of them? What do you think about yourself? Whereas, like, I had kind of come from this place, and sometimes it's a lot of female programming where you're like, what I think doesn't matter. And if you're an empath, you are constantly thinking, they do this because of this reason, and they don't know they're loved, and I want to be loving. And like, in some ways it's lovely, but then on the other way, it's actually a form of really losing yourself when you define what people think. And I think for creatives, we exit our experience all the time and climb into the audience's experience of us, or the director's experience of us, or our manager's experience of us. And we lose our sense of safety inside of ourselves when we're constantly pressing the ejection button of our identity. But the thing is, if we go to the pendulum swing of not caring what people think, we actually lose connection, because we don't actually take ownership of, like, where we affect people and how sometimes maybe how we think we're showing up with people, we're not actually coming across that way. And so healthy feedback is helpful for us to recognize, like, oh, when I do these things, it affects people. And it breaks connection, and it doesn't, and because, like, we're really wired for community and we're really wired for connection. And so, learning how to, like, you know, navigate that tension is really part of what being wholehearted is. Like, if you read through all the guideposts, which I've outlined and we'll be unpacking every week, it actually takes really rumbling through tension in everyday life situations. Like, you're going to be tested in these moments of like, ooh, do I overanalyze what that person thinks in this moment, or do I just really connect into what do I think about this situation? And so we have kind of categories of people, and I'm going to go into it a little bit to give you some examples. And there is kind of like the more loner, more avoidant, like I don't care what people think, and you do have a strong sense of self. But learning to be authentic and wholehearted, like there is that element of compassion. So if you are quite a rebel in how you think, like your ideas aren't fully fleshed out maybe. And sometimes they're coming from a triggered place. Like I would have people say, well, I'm going to show up to, you know, school or work, and I'm going to be in this funk and this mood because I want to be authentic. And you know, like just because you're going through something doesn't mean that you're being inauthentic by kind of like learning the proper place to process through that heaviness. Because we have also what's called sympathy seekers out there in the world. And a lot of it is because they've gone through trauma and they haven't really known, had safe spaces to sort of process it out. But then they think that like for me to be authentic means I'm going to be bleeding out all over people, and they, you know, should accept me because we should be accepting of people. But then there's no responsibility of like, actually my energy I am responsible for, and I want to serve this environment with who I am rather than trying to, you know, say that like it's, you know, either inauthentic and I'm being fake if I'm pretending. It's actually like, oh no, this is a management issue. It's not an authenticity issue. Because if I was to show up to a life coaching, someone was coming to be coached by me, and they showed up and they were like, you know, like there to like receive from me, like for me to like give them, you know, my best self. Like if I'm going through something, like not to say like I'm perfect and like I don't, you know, sometimes like they're not the most perfect sessions or whatever. It's not about perfectionism. But if I like made that whole session about the trauma and I'm going through this and I went through this, like that actually is missing. Like it's this, that's not appropriate. So, and it's also like in our workplace, like you being authentic requires vulnerability. Like it's not vulnerable to be in a bad mood all day. Like vulnerability is maybe sharing like with a couple of safe people, this is what I'm going through, but you're not sharing with everybody. Everyone needs to know that I'm going through the worst time. Like there's learning how to like navigate that. But on the other side of that is like learning to be authentic is learning to like show up and be present. If even when you are going through something, being honest about it, but learning how to manage it in a way where you're not fully kind of like making it all about you, if that makes sense. I always find that when we don't have self-awareness, we actually become self-obsessive. So we become so consumed with our experience that we become so disconnected from someone else's experience, and we lose that sense of empathy. So so there's kind of that person that kind of thinks they're kind of alone in the world, but they think they're being authentic and they're being honest about what they think about things, but maybe it's coming from a wounded place, a hurt place, and they're learning to go on a journey of healing. Because when we go on a wholeness journey, like our opinions actually soften. Like like there is kind of like sometimes like we do have like, especially if you're wired more to think critically, like that's actually really helpful in the world, because we need people like you to like, you know, create safety in environments, because you're looking to like, how do we make this better? But then on the other hand, like what growing in maturity and wisdom and wholeness and going through a healing journey, you'll start to connect to compassion, and it actually makes you more productive in the goal you're trying to achieve, whether that's you work for an organization and you only look at the critical things, you feel like disconnected from people in your workplace. But as you heal, like your voice will become more heard in those places because you'll be able to have compassion for people and them not being perfect humans, and you'll also be able to kind of take it to the next level. So if you find yourself like being more like that. But then there's also this thing with authenticity is like we're so wired for belonging and we want to feel a sense of acceptance. And when we don't feel accepted, it's like so painful. And so that's why we'll sometimes make compromises in authenticity and we'll edit who we really are to show up as the more accepted, the culturally accepted version of ourselves. So you might work in a workplace where it's like everyone is impeccably dressed, no one has regrowth, everyone is looking perfect and they drive nice cars, and you're finding yourself overextending yourself in like, I'm going to go out and party, but I don't really want to do that. Like if I'm really connected to my heart, I actually want to just hang out with my boyfriend or stay at home and or like do something like that. But I feel this pressure of like, if I'm there, then I'll fit in. A big thing in company culture is sometimes like there's the boys club. I'll speak for women, is like they'll go and have like boys nights and be drinking around the fire, and like you're like, it's a bit weird if I'm the girl and I don't want to go to that drinks thing and be there at 3 a.m. and be around all these guys. Like, but then you're like, oh, but the other people are getting promoted. Like this is a way that you get promoted is if you're in that boys club, then you'll be promoted. And so it feels easier to kind of go along with that thing to feel included. But I think that when we learn to be authentic and stay true to ourselves, being authentic is the most magnetic thing. And so when we play by those rules of belonging, like even because it can really be like hard to go, but that's the facts of an environment. When you're in the boys club, you get promotion. And that could be factual, but what I think that cultivating true authenticity is, and even working through the pain of like that feeling of like, I'm not fitting in, I'm not part of that crew. When you work through that pain and you connect to abundance, you're connecting with what's called secret option C. So there's option A and option B, like you stay at home and not go out, or B, you go and abandon yourself and go hang out with the guys. And then those feel like the only options. But then once you start healing and cultivating your authenticity and your abundance, like what happens is like creative solutions come in, and the way that you show up in the workplace even shifts, and it actually becomes magnetic for opportunities because people love being around authentic people because they feel safe and they feel even permission. Like, I don't really like going to those boys' nights either, and I just go because of X, Y, and Z, and they feel safe with you. And then they start to like, you know, expand into a greater reality that isn't just what's, you know, sort of accepted in an environment. And I think that this is huge in church culture, and I know not everyone in my podcast list goes to church or is a Christian or has a faith, and maybe you've seen things on the news about church culture or, you know, witnessed different things. But I think that our faith space is such a sacred space, and there's a tension inside of church because there's no perfect church. I believe in a perfect God, but there's just no perfect church. And so we can find that every environment, like every church environment, sort of has subconscious rules that no one maybe is really talking about, that, but there might be rules for how to fit in and how to belong in that environment. And so one thing that I'm kind of navigating is I was part of a church culture that really valued emotional intelligence. And there was a lot of really emotionally self-aware people. And I think the reason why it was such a spiritually healthy environment was because they had a lot of emotional intelligence. And I think when those two things go together, you have an incredible environment. But it wasn't a perfect environment at all. I think being in the same place for a long time, like, you definitely know, oh, nobody's perfect. But I think, like, one thing that can happen in church culture is, especially because it feels like if we don't fit into the rules of the culture, where something morally is bad with us. Like, we're wrong if we don't abide by, like, whatever the culture says is great. And especially because there can be a lot of emotion in our churches and a lot of, like, yeah, that feeling of pressure to do something because it's a good thing to do, but then we can kind of lose ourselves in that. And it's really important to have a sense of identity and a strong sense of self so that we don't find ourselves doing things from a place of, I just want to fit into this environment, I want to belong. And I think a lot of the times it's like, oh, I'm going to serve so much so that I belong. And if I don't serve every single week and do all these things, then I'm going to lose belonging, which means that God's rejecting me and the church is rejecting me. And it just feels really, really high stakes. And so we can have this mentality in our workplaces, our church environments, where we have a bit of a herd mentality. It's like, even in social media, like, we just follow what everyone else does and we just parrot what everyone else does. But a lot of, like, great leaders in life have gone through a journey of, like, really rumbling with the message that they carry. And so, like, And so when they share it from the pulpit, like, I'll use church, when they share it from the pulpit, it's really authentic and powerful. But all of us, and they, you know, there's revelation that comes. But often when we hear it for the first time, we still need to go on an authenticity journey of actually walking it out and rumbling with it. Like, for example, I believe that it's a core value. I believe that God is good. But if I started parroting, because part of the church I was part of is, like, they believe that's a core value. They believe that God is good and he's in a good mood. And if I can parrot, like, the core values of a church and kind of say, yeah, but God is good. But if I am disconnected from my heart and I go through moments where I'm really triggered and am struggling to believe that God is good, it's almost like, if I'm honest about, like, I'm actually struggling to believe that right now, like, ooh, I don't want to be kicked out of the church because I'm struggling to believe that thing. Like, we kind of go into a bit of a performance around all these good things, and they're not bad things, but I believe wholehearted authenticity is that you are learning to rumble with tension. And you're learning how to be in process with things. You're okay at, like, showing up imperfectly in situations. And you know how to connect to, you're able to be in process in learning something, if that makes sense. Self-awareness is such a key component in creating authenticity and cultivating authenticity. And so, even being aware of, what are your stress response? Like, when you feel triggered around someone and you want to, like, just people please in that moment, like, that takes, like, a great level of awareness of yourself. And even the fruits of the spirit, like, one of them is self-control. Like, you need to actually have an awareness of yourself to be able to control and manage what's happening inside you. And so I want to kind of go through, and this is kind of connected to spirituality, because I think when you have great emotional intelligence, you'll have strong spiritual intelligence. And so because I'm noticing you may be deeply spiritual, but lacking emotional intelligence, and you might find yourself like, I'm constantly spending time with God, I'm constantly reading the Bible and at church and doing all these spiritual practices, but then you And you might have this thought of like, it's not about us, you know, like that kind of a mentality, but they go hand in hand because you matter and you're worthy and you're valuable. And so, and I believe spirituality is all about connection to God. And so I love these quotes by St. Augustine. They say, how can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? And St. Augustine says, grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee. Meister Eckhart says, no one can know God who does not first know himself. And St. Catherine of Siena says, be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. St. Teresa of Avila says, almost all problems in the spiritual life stem from a lack of self-awareness. And John Calvin, not that I'm a Calvinist or believe in that, says, nearly all the wisdom we possess, that is to say true and sound wisdom, consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and of ourselves. And so I really do believe that sometimes like where things go off in a spiritual environment is when there is a lack of self-awareness. I mean, we've had so many stories even more recently when there's like big mega church pastors falling from grace and there being, you know, issues like that. And we can see when, you know, when leadership like doesn't have self-awareness or emotional intelligence, we can see how it really affects so many people. So when we don't cultivate a journey of self-awareness, often we can be aware of everybody else's faults, but we're not aware of like how to, like that we have like fleshly ego, you know, we have these things that are kind of broken in us that need healing. And if we don't have awareness around them and how we affect people and like actually go on that journey of healing, we can really create a lot of pain in our relationships and with the people we're leading and all of those things. And I love Pete Scazzaro, who wrote the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, says the vast majority of us unconsciously live someone else's life, or at least according to their expectations. This does violence to our souls, our relationship with God and with others. So he's emphasizing the lack of self-awareness and authenticity can damage our spiritual lives, living from a false self shaped by external expectations, distancing us from God, our God-given identity. And I think that wholehearted authenticity is really living out the scripture in Romans 8:19 that says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Or in my own paraphrased version is, the whole world is waiting for the sons and daughters to know who they are. I want to segue into talking about ways that we can abandon ourselves. And I had this moment when it was the first year of us building our university, and we were just, you know, anyone who's pioneered anything, you're wearing multiple hats, you're doing so many things you've never done before and making mistakes left, right, and center. You've like not got structure in place that makes people feel clear about what they're doing, or expectations aren't clear. And so you're really learning on the fly and hurting people along the way just because you don't know what you don't know. And I just remember that year just having so much like shame. And it was the year that I really started learning self-compassion. And I think if you are an entrepreneur, a leader, pioneer, learning self-compassion is going to be a game changer in your experience, and it's going to help you not go into burnout as much. But I really like was, you know, in a coaching session and I was like really triggered, kind of like verbally vomiting, basically like, and this has happened and this is terrible thing has happened. And then I recounted, like, someone took a photo of me and I saw this photo and I was saying in the counseling office, and then I saw this photo that my friend took of me and I was like, why don't I like this girl? I don't like this girl. And I think some of us can relate to that when you see a photo of yourself and I'm like, who is that? Like, and it's you, but it doesn't feel like you, if that makes sense. And I was looking at this photo of me and I looked dead in the eyes and I just didn't look like Ella. And he said to me, my coach said to me, Ella, why are you abandoning yourself? And it was probably my first time I'd heard that term, self-abandonment, but it's like when you're taking care of everybody else and really not really taking care or prioritizing yourself and you know, eating healthy and working out and like doing all the things to kind of maintain and, you know, take care of yourself. And like at that time, I knew nothing about the nervous system. But if I could look back, I'm like, oh, I was incredibly dysregulated. And I think that like part of this authentic journey is really learning how to not self-abandon. And I kind of mentioned it earlier in this episode, but I know a huge thing for me is that I had a lot of toxic guilt. And when we have guilt, especially when you're thinking, constantly thinking about how your actions affect other people. And there's a healthy side to that, but then there's the unhealthy side to that. So the toxic guilt actually was causing me to lead multiple lives. Like I could never fully be present with someone in front of me because I'd be thinking about how I've let down this person, I've forgotten that thing. And like I just would always be in multiple realities. I could never actually live connected to myself. And I realized like I learned a lot about toxic guilt is when we are over responsible for everybody else's emotions. And that can come from, I haven't actually experienced this personally growing up. I didn't grow up with a narcissist in my life, but if you grew up with a narcissistic parent, whose emotions were like, it almost felt like you had to like parent your parents' emotions. And it's actually a trauma response of like constantly feeling like you should be doing something else and it's all your fault. And a lot of survivors of narcissistic abuse often struggle with really deep guilt. And so guilt can show up when you're trying to set a boundary or you're trying to assert a need and you're trying to express a need. Or even if you're trying to express a different opinion, like you can just go into these kind of guilt places. And the toxic guilt can sound like, I'm wrong, I'm bad, it's my fault. And I think that toxic guilt just creates such a distorted view of yourself. And it's another way that we lose ourselves and not able to fully be authentic. And I think that if you're struggling with this, it's a real invitation to heal that toxic guilt. And hopefully that can give you language for it. Because healthy guilt is like that moment of like, ooh, I affected someone and I'm so sorry that I did that and I have to clean up a mess. But there isn't the really soul-destroying rumination on how you're the worst and you should have done this in order to not make them react that way. And there's such a hypervigilance around that. And I think with pioneering something, and it may not be one person, but it might be an environment where you feel like, whoa, there's just so much like, so much negative energy, you know? And I think especially when you're a compassionate person or an empathetic person, you can kind of take on everything that's happening in an environment and internalize it and like almost like take over responsibility for what's happening. And so connecting back to authenticity is learning how to not abandon yourself and just stay in your experience. And that's easier said than done. But if anything, I think the first step is finding language for wow, I actually live in a constant state of distortion of myself, and I need to actually get a clear lens of who I am. And I think it's so healthy to like assess, like, what are the labels that I've put on myself, or in this environment, who do I have to be in order to feel safe or to feel belonging or connection? Do I feel like I have to perform for that? And how do I stay in my experience? And I love Maya Angelou's quote of, I belong everywhere but nowhere. I belong to myself, but I also belong to the collective. And I think that that is the journey that we are going on in learning what it means to be wholehearted, is learning how to really like navigate the tension of not wanting to isolate ourselves, staying in connection and community, learning how to be open-hearted and wholehearted in our connection to ourselves, God, and other people. And so I think that when we feel like we're in our full authenticity and we've built that practice into our life, we start feeling more peace in our relationships. We start feeling like, oh, I see the payoff in wholehearted authenticity. And you let go of the need to be cool, the need to like drive the nicest car or be cool on social media, because you're just connected to what's authentic to you and what's authentic to your season. And it's also like fun when you can get to that place where you kind of go, what is authentic to me? How do I express myself in like what I wear? What feels authentic? What feels most like Ella in this situation? And the other thing is, like, it's not self-obsessed to go on this journey. It's a self-discovery journey that I think when we all go on this journey, we actually start to really bless other people around us, because they invite us into the more of who they are. And they're more than just being this one-dimensional, two-dimensional person. Like, you are a person of color and nuance and complexity, and all of who you are is so beautiful. And one of my favorite things is just working with people on this journey of really becoming their full self. So I want you to, go ahead and go to the download of the PDF that goes through these guideposts. Really listen to your heart, engage with your heart with going through these journal prompts. And as you get to the end of listening to all these series, you can kind of sit down and go, okay, what are we wanting to cultivate more of? How can I make some intentions? And so I think that when you're really connected to your authenticity, things just get clearer. You'll be able to say, oh, that would make me betray myself if I said yes to that. Like, you start being able to make really good decisions because you're not making decisions based on who someone else wants you to be. You're making authentic, generous decisions that are going to overall, at the end of the day, pay off for everyone. So yeah, make sure you sign up for my email list, download that giveaways that goes through all the journal prompts for each guidepost. And I'm excited for you to listen to the upcoming episode with John Toms as we talk about vulnerability, which is such a key ingredient to living an authentic, wholehearted life. And excited just to hear how you guys are going with this whole learning to practice the art of authenticity. So have a wonderful week and stay tuned for next week for the next episode.
Thanks for listening today. Please download, share with your friends, and write a review. If you would like to book in a life coaching session with me, go to my website at www.ella-hooper.com or follow me on Instagram at Next Brave Thing Podcast.